right. Well, let's take our Bibles. We've got a lot to cover this morning, and I'm going to need your help in some areas. You've heard my messages before, so you probably said he needs a lot of help. So I'm going to ask your help this morning. Turn to Judges chapter 17. Judges 17. And we're going to take a look at the Bible this morning. We have our anchor. You know, we just sang that song, we have an anchor that keeps his soul. That's Jesus Christ. And the day we heard about Jesus Christ was from the Word of God. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Bible today. And hopefully when we get done, you'll have more of a respect for what we have here and what has been taught in this church for years. And that is the Bible, the Word of God. We believe at this church that we have the Word of God. It's not just a book. It's not just one of the many Bibles out there. We believe this is the Word of God. I believe it is. Maybe you don't, but I do. So maybe I can convince you of that before the morning's over. But let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Lord, thank you for the day. And thank you for the opportunity to be here. Lord, I pray for Pastor this morning as he's ministering to Brother Stephen's flock down in Iowa. Lord, I pray that you give him the words as I pray that you'd speak through me and give me words to say this morning. Lord, I just thank you for your book. I thank you for the hymns we can sing. No other religion has that. And Lord, I just thank you for it. Thank you for guiding me to the truth. And I just pray that I would do its service this morning. In your name, amen. All right, Judges chapter 17, verse 6. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. I look at the world today. I don't know if you watch the news on a regular basis. I don't anymore. And the world's a mess. Things are just messed up. And the reason, I believe the reason is because they have no final authority. They have nothing they can go to and say, this is what it's supposed to be. This is the way it should be. And if we follow this, we'll be fine. They don't have any of that because they eliminated it. They took the Word of God out of schools. They took the Word of God out of society. They don't want anybody reading it. They don't want anybody studying it. We have a better idea than God. That's pretty amazing. That's a pretty heavy statement to make, to think that you're smarter than God. And I read back in 1962. I typed this in. I got on my phone yesterday and I said, "When was the Bible taken out of schools?" And it brought up this article. And I found this really interesting. There was a statement made by this an education expert. His name is William Janes, J-E-Y-N-E-S. This guy, he's a professor at Cal State Long Beach. He's got graduate degrees from Harvard and University of Chicago. He was first in his class in Harvard, and he was voted the most outstanding student at the University of Chicago. I mean, these are pretty big worldly claims. You know, this is huge for educational-wise. He's published 165 publications. He's written 14 books. He's written articles for Columbia University, Harvard University, University of Chicago, Cambridge University, Notre Dame, London School of Economics, and he's written articles and spoke at the White House for George Bush and President Obama. Okay, so now that you hear those credentials and you're like, oh, here we go, this guy's like gone. This guy's liberal to the hilt. Listen to what he says. One can argue, and some have, that the decision of the Supreme Court in a series of three decisions back in 1962 and 1963 to remove the Bible and prayer from our public schools may be the most spiritually significant event in our nation's history over the last 55 years. He made this statement in 2014. This is recent. Since 1963, Janus said, there have been 5 negative developments in the nation's public schools. Academic achievement has plummeted, including SAT scores, increased rate of out-of-wedlock births, increase in illegal drug use, increase in juvenile crime, deterioration of school behavior. Now he himself, with all those liberal credentials, is attributing all these things to taking the Bible out of school. That's pretty amazing. So we need to realize that these actions do have consequences. When we remove the moral fiber, that moral emphasis, this is what can result. Then he went on just a little bit more, and he says, other facts included a comparison between the top 5 complaints of teachers from 1940 to 1962. The top 5 complaints were talking, chewing gum, making noise, running in the halls, and getting out of turn in line. And any one of us who's my age or older has done those things and got in trouble in school for it. That was the top 5 complaints of teachers from 1940 to 1962. Then in 62, they took the Bible out. So from 63 to present, the top 5 complaints of teachers: rape, robbery, assault, burglary, and arson. That's pretty amazing. And that's a liberal. I don't know about this man. I just looked up his credentials. I didn't look up to see if he'd been saved or not, or he's a Christian at all. But that's pretty substantial. From a liberal guy, that from what we see, his credentials, we can assume he's liberal, that he would make such a statement about the Word of God, about the Bible. Yes. Yeah.
Someone asked, where was God during the Parkland High School shooting down in Florida?
Yeah.
And the answer was, you kicked him out in 1962.
Right.
This is why you couldn't happen.
Right. Yep. Exactly. God's always been where he's been. He's in heaven. He wants to be a part of everyone's life. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But if you reject, and now you can see in society, we look at the world, we look at the news, we look at what's going on in the world, and you can say, wow, this is really messed up. But this is the product of taking the Bible out and prayer. We live in a society now that was raised on rap music. You know, it doesn't matter black, white, anything. What they were raised on was rap music. You know, when I was growing up, it was rock and roll. Now it's rap. You know, and it's just, and to see what's going on and what they talk about in rap music, and we can see it happening in society. And we just like, man, it's messed up. But that's all they have. That's their authority. That and the news. People say, you know, they have their ideas and complain. There was a guy that went and did he took a survey to a university who this university downplayed the Trump administration. You know, the students hated Trump. You know, I'm not going for Trump or anything like this. I'm just making a statement here. And he brought down and he said it was some policy that Trump was trying to get passed. I believe it was an economic policy. And they said, what do you think of, you go to each student and say, what do you think of Trump's economic policies? Oh, he's a jerk. It's terrible. It's just going to ruin the country. It's going to ruin the nation. Blah, 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 on and on and on. Every student was saying this. So then when the student would say his piece, this guy would come back and say, okay, let me show you what the economic policies that are in place right now. And he started reading off these economic, what do you think of this economic policy? What do you think of this? And all, what he was doing was reading Trump's, what he wanted to do. And they're saying, oh, that's fantastic. That's awesome. That's going to help our country. That's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. Our country is going to get back on track. Our economy is going to be great and everything. And then you get done and say, those are what Trump's trying to do. Oh, look at the time, you know. I better, you know. So they're just they watch the news, and the news tells them what they're supposed to say. They did a study, I probably said this before, but they did a study at the University of Minnesota on the effects of television on people. And they wired him, you got all these electrodes all over his head and all over his body and everything. And they turn on the TV, and as soon as the TV came on, brain stopped. The brain went dead. So everything the TV was going right in. Boom, boom, boom. And it's talk about creating zombies. That's what they're celebrating in society right now, zombies. And everybody's walking around going, oh, you know. Well, I had an inmate told me this at work. He went to a concert at Harriet Island in St. Paul. And after the concert was over, the lights went off. And it was dark. And he said, he looked back at the crowd, and every face in the crowd was blue. They were all going like this. He said, that was the spookiest thing I've ever seen, he said. And it's true. Oh, where's my car? Where should I go? Where do I go now? What do I do? It's scary. It's a scary thing. But you take away this, and whatever the TV tells you, whatever the news tells you, that's what you're going to do. You have no other authority. You have no authority. In fact, we look at things going on in society, and it's just like, what's next? They have no authority. Anything is possible. Wow, I feel like a female today. I don't know which bathroom to use. You're sick. You're sick. Go look in a mirror. You'll know which bathroom to use. Seriously, it's so stupid. Anybody can do anything. Because they don't have the Bible. They don't have an authority. I'm talking about the King James Bible. I'm not talking about the other junk that's out there. It's amazing. But we got a lot to cover. So you're going to bear with me. I'm going to need your help. I got, we got people out say, and then, okay, so to go on a little farther, we got people out there that are denying that we have the Word of God. We don't even have it available to us. We got the scholars, very educated people, who look down on us because, I went to 2 years of college and I went in the Navy. Oh, you sit over there, and they say it's written by men. Okay, so men with who the Bible says are sinners. Who the Bible say their heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, they wrote the Bible. Really? That's what we're talking about. There's no king in Israel. We can write a Bible. I could write a Bible this afternoon. I could write it. I'd say, well, I don't like that verse. I'm going to write it this way. I'm going to change this. Kind of like the devil did. You ever heard of him? Yeah. That's kind of like what he did with those other versions. Yeah. So then the Greek and the Hebrew, we all know that junk. If that's the case, then we don't have the Word of God. Have you ever seen what are the effects if we don't have the Word of God? Think about that. Well, we see it in society, but think about this. Luke 8:11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. If we don't have the Word of God, we don't have any seed. We don't. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are those which hear the word of God and do it. If we don't have the word of God, nobody can be a mother or a brethren with Christ. Because we have no word of God to hear and to do. When they make these statements, it's amazing. They don't realize the impact worldwide that these statements can have. Did Adam realize what was going to happen when he took a bite of that fruit? The whole world became sinful because he took a bite of food. And when he prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the Word of God with boldness. We wouldn't be able to do that if we didn't have the Word of God. And there's people in every church this morning who don't believe we have the words of God. That's a sad thing. And if that's the case, they can't even preach. They should just close the place down and sit down. Because none of this is true if they don't have the Word of God. Why do you even go to... We have programs at our jail right now, and the guys that run these programs say they go to church. Why do you go to church and worship a God who's not even capable of curing something that you say your program can cure? Why would you worship a God like that when man has the answers? There are no... They haven't cured one person. They say somebody that's cured is somebody who holds down a job, takes care of his family, and is on our medications. What happens when the medications run out? Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables." Well, if we don't have the Word of God, you might as well serve tables. Just go serve tables. It's an amazing thing. All right. I, for one, believe that the Word of God, the Bible, should have the attributes of the author. It should be holy, inerrant, perfect, all-powerful, all the attributes of God. And I believe this Bible does. I don't believe for a second that there's somebody in this room, but don't take offense to this. I just ask you to think about it, because at the end of this lesson, I'm going to give you something to just think about. I just want you to think about it. But think about this. If one of us in here were to take this Bible for what it says and live by it wholeheartedly, what could we accomplish? What could we do as an individual? I can't remember who it was. I think it was John Wesley or somebody like that said, "The world has yet to see a man wholly given to the Holy Spirit." Man, what could that person accomplish? We read great stories of missionaries and pastors and preachers and things that just impacted people's lives and changed the world, and you know, and that they still didn't tap into that power. What is available to us? And we let it go by. It's just amazing. But I'm gonna need some volunteers to look up some verses. I feel so important when I write on this thing. It's kind of neat. So let's see here. Okay, so we've got a few verses here to look up, and I need some volunteers. So, would someone look up Luke 8:11? Aaron? Acts 12:24. Jason? Acts 13:7-44. Somebody want? Caleb? Acts 19:20. Brother Pearson? Ephesians 6:17. Jeff? 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Okay, Brother Duggan? 1 Timothy 4:4-5. Anybody? All right, John, thank you. 2 Timothy 2:9. Justin, thank you. Titus 2:5. All right, Brother Wayne. Hebrews 4:12. All right, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Brother Brian, sorry, didn't mention the name. Hebrews 11:3. Okay, Abel. 1 Peter 1:23. Oh, Ian, we'll give it to Ian. Somebody new here. 1 John 2:14. Caleb? Okay. Revelation 6:9. Yeah, Revelation 6:9. Aaron, you got that one? And then 24. Revelation 20:4. Jeff. Okay, and then I'll do the last three there. Okay, so let's start with... Now, these are attributes. This is the Word of God. Attributes are things that apply to the Word of God. What the Bible says. What the Word of God says about the Word of God. Okay? Let's go ahead and start with Luke 8:11. Aaron. All right. The seed. Seed of what? Okay. Seed of the gospel, we'll say. Right? All right, we're planting the seed. Okay, Acts 12:24, so read that.
But the word of God grew and multiplied.
It grew. The word of God, it doesn't say anybody else, anybody grew. It said the word of God grew, right? So it's alive, right? It grew. There's going to be a couple of those in here. So, grew. It's alive. How about Acts 13:7-44? Okay, it's to be desired and heard, the word of God. You know, you can walk down on the street and talk to just about anybody. This is dangerous, isn't it? All right.
I feel so powerful up here.
I feel like a scholar. All right. Okay, you can walk out on the street and talk to anybody about, you know, like say, hey, have you read Stephen King's novel? Or, you know, something, you know, Pet Sematary or something like that. Well, no. Okay, well, have you ever read about it? No, I heard about it. Okay. But you can talk to anybody, and anybody has heard about the Bible. Everybody. They've heard about the Word of God. I bet, this is just a theory, but I bet everybody at some time in their life has been curious about the Word of God. This Janus guy was also, he went on in his article and said something to the fact that there's 444 counties in 43 states that have passed legislation to get the Bible, they're teaching the Bible in classes now as a subject. They're not studying it as the Word of God. That's what he said. He said they're not studying it as the Word of God, but as a subject, a curriculum. The only problem, since 1962, how many different Bibles have come out? What Bible are they teaching? You know, and it's almost like you see a deception. Well, isn't that amazing? You see a devilish deception here. You got the Bible and prayer in schools and everything's going just fine, and the devil says, I got to get that out of there. Here again, my theory. 62-63, he gets the Bible out. Now he gets a whole bunch of Bibles printed that are false and fake and worth nothing but kindling. And now they're starting to get the Bible back in. Because now they got this trash. Okay, sorry. That was rabbit trail. Acts 19:20.
So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed.
Grew. And it prevailed. Not the people. Not the person presenting it. Not the person preaching it. The Bible grew and prevailed. That's kind of neat. Okay, how about Ephesians 6:17? Sword of the Spirit. What kind of ammunition are you giving the Holy Spirit in your heart? You reading the Bible? You meditating on it? Are you memorizing it? Does he have a pocket knife? Or does he have a sword? You know, I'd like to help you here, but I don't have anything to work with. Right? Yeah, that's just another short rabbit trail. 1 Thessalonians 2:13.
For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye receive the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye receive it not as the word of man, but also it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe.
Right on. Not the word of men. I don't think I have room here. Effectually, worketh in, we'll just say saved.
Also in you that believe.
Okay, the saved. We'll put it that way. Because I can't get out that far, or we're going to have a major accident here. All right. No other book in history can say that. No other book has affected society like that. It really hasn't. We've seen the effects of what the Bible can do to people as individuals, as Christians, and we can see what it does when it's taken away. When it was taken away, it affected the saved people. You know, it's what a powerful book. And we have it. 1 Timothy 4, 4 to 5. All sanctified. We're sanctified by it. And that deer you shoot, that fish you catch, that bear you shoot, how many different animals have you shot? You shot elk yet? No? Okay. Grizzly? You run, yeah, you had a knife in your teeth and you're up on the branch, right? But all that, you know, talking in that passage is talking about the food and the meat we eat, you know, and there's religions out there that deny food this time of year, right? I walk into the dining room at lunchtime at the workhouse and they have fish on a Friday. Why is that? Because these people are being lied to. They don't have, well, the Word of God was taken away. They don't have the Word of God. They got their tradition. Right? 2 Timothy 2, 9. Not bound. What a powerful verse. People have tried, they've tried to eliminate the Word of God. They tried to bind it. They tried to, keep it under wraps so people don't hear about it. But it just explodes and it goes. It finds, it's like, you know, me and anybody over here have trouble working with plumbing? You fix these pipes and fix a toilet or fix something and you turn on the water and you're like, everything's tight, everything's secure, and all of a sudden, drip, 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 and you're like, and you know, that time you wish you had an explosive device. Yeah. But the Bible, it's like that. It's not. It always finds a way out. It finds a way in. It's all powerful. It's powerful. It's not bound at all. Nothing. Nothing here on earth can bind it. Titus 2:5. All right. It's to be obeyed. Now that I'm not aiming this, I didn't pick that verse because it applies to women. You hear that? You know, none of that stuff. But it's to be obeyed because why? Because number one, the Word of God is not going to be blasphemed. And number two, you're going to be held accountable for it. Every one of us are going to stand before God one day and give an account of what the book says and are we following it? You know, and it's going to be the Bible, the Word of God, that judges you. Says that in John, what did I write down? John 12:48. The Bible, the words that I say, those are going to be what judge you in the end day. Okay, Hebrews 4:12. Quick, powerful. Sharper, discerner. Can anything measure up to this? Nothing. Look at this Bible. Look at what the Bible says about the Word of God. Look at what it says about the book that we have. The book we hold in our laps in the morning when we read, or on your desk, or when you're at work in your briefcase. In your hands today. What a book this is. How about 11:3, Hebrews 11:3. It was created. Created the world. It's so simple. It's not an explosion of nothing. You know, it's just they want you to believe that if you took a, you go down to Menards and buy one of those garage kits, and you take all the lumber and the siding and the cement and all this and nails, and you put it, just pile it in your driveway and just start blowing it up, eventually you're going to get a garage out of this. Right? I mean, it just makes sense. It's all going to come into order eventually. Just keep blowing it up. That's scary.
You had an infinite number of typewriters with an infinite number of monkeys. One of them is bound to end up writing King Lear.
we have a word for that. Moron. I think that's the way you spell that. All right. These guys are so smart, they're stupid. They really are. They're just so smart, they just... That's what happens when you don't have an authority. Anything can be said, anything can be done. Oh, that makes a lot of sense. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. I wonder if anybody's ever stood up and said that to his face. You're a dork. You don't have a clue. How about 1 Peter 1:23? Everlasting. That's interesting. Born again by the Word of God. Everlasting. No other book can say that. How many, they bring out the latest, greatest novel that somebody wrote, and it's on the New York bestseller list for months and months and months, and then where do you find it? At Unique Thrift Store for $4. When you pay, what, $40-some for a new one? It's ridiculous. Not everlasting. And then it ends up in the trash or gets recycled. Not ours. Not the Word of God. Not the Word of God. I don't know if this is true or not. Maybe you've heard this, but that where there was one guy that set out to just eliminate all the Bibles at one time, and in that spot where he spoke from was where the Gutenberg Press was built. And started printing Bibles. That's kind of an amazing thing. 1 John 2:14.
I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one.
Right. Abides in you. Abides in you. How many times do we tap into this? How many times do we think we have the same... We have a better idea than God. Are we, at times, are we any better than these professors? When we say, well, I'm going to do this on my own. I have a better idea than God. I'm going to go ahead and do this without even talking to God, without even asking the Holy Spirit for guidance, without even asking for counsel. And we just go ahead and do it and fall flat on our face. At times, are we any better than that, the liberals and the professors of this world? There's times, we've all been there. We've all been there. I'm not pointing fingers at you guys, like I've never done it. My lands. I'd be lucky to go through a day without doing it. Revelation 6:9. And 24, Revelation 24.
And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hand, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years.
Isn't that amazing? They died for it. What are we willing to do for it? What are we willing? Are we at this point in our lives? Can we truly look into our hearts and say, I believe that book and I would die for it. When you're all tied up to the stake and they got the wood all piled up around you and they're standing there with the torch, denounce your Christ. Are you ready for that? Are we at that point? What if some Muslim comes up and says, deny Christ or I'll cut your head off? It could be any. They're all around us. They're all around us. And who knows when that day is going to come? We don't know. We're all waiting for Christ to come, but He may come for you today by somebody lopping your head off for Christ. Are you willing to go that far for the Word of God? Okay. Revelation 19:13. Turn there. Revelation 19:13. And He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. What does John 1:1-2 say? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. It's not only a look at this list. It's a seed of the gospel. It holds someone's eternity. The seed of the gospel, this word, is the key to someone. And go right in here with 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. That Bible right there, the King James Bible. Someone's eternity rests in that book. This book abides in you. It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of your heart. You ever read the Bible and have it convict you of something that's in your life? Yeah, it goes right in there. It goes right in. You're out street preaching. You think there's no results? Don't be surprised. There's somebody on the other side of the street that hears you preaching the Bible and the Word of God, and it's just piercing their heart as they're walking by. Wow. I used to hear that as a kid in church. I haven't heard that for 30 years. And here's this guy yelling at me about it. It's not him. It's not that guy yelling. It's the Word of God that's coming and hitting you like a ton of bricks. Because you know it's true. You know it's right. And you know you got to do something about it. John 5:39. Turn over there real quick. John 5:39. And then we'll get on to what... this thing I want you to think about. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me, testify of Christ. Now I'm gonna go on to something here, and I want you just... this is something I just want you to think about. We've read these verses. Some of these verses we are going to cover are verses we know by heart. They're verses we've heard over and over and over again. And it never hit me. And maybe it hit you before, but it never hit me before until this. So let's go to Luke 18:8. This is the verse that kind of triggered it for me. Luke 18. Luke 18:8. And I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? You ever think about that? We're all talking, you know, a pastor was mentioning in a sermon here a while back about Christ coming, and there, you know, May is when Israel has their 70th anniversary or whatever it is of their becoming a nation, and all these things about 2018. You know, men have been predicting the coming of Christ for years. You know, we don't know when he's coming. Period. All right, we don't know. Will he find faith on the earth? We can look around us now and see people, Christians in churches, and people that believe the Word of God, and people that are teaching and preaching the Word of God, and say that, well, if He comes back today, obviously, yes, we're going to find faith on the earth. But what if He keeps tarrying on? What if He keeps waiting, and we're not here? After a while, we're not here anymore. What the condition of churches today, denying the Word of God, saying we don't have the Word of God, saying the Word of God is in the Greek and the Hebrew, or using a different Bible than what we use that's not the Word of God. Think about this. Let's go on. Hebrews 11. You, like I said, these are verses we've known and heard many, 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 many times. When I return, will I find faith in the earth? Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. It's one thing to say, oh yeah, I believe God exists, but what God? What God are people being taught about today? If they deny that the Bible that they have in their pulpit, in their study, on their desk, if they deny that that Bible is the Word of God, then they make God a liar. Because God said in Psalm 12 that He was going to preserve the Word of God from that generation forever. So if they say He couldn't do that, then that's not the God that I serve. That's not the God that I worship. That's not the God I believe in. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Oh, I believe God exists. Which God? What God? Which God are you worshiping? The one that you can have, you know, the new churches with the rock music, and they're allowing the world in to... They're, get this. They're going to the world, the worldly functions, the rock music, the watered-down books that they use, psychology. They're using all these worldly things to attract the world? You're going to give them something that they already have? That's ridiculous. That's not of God. They need to hear the truth. They need to hear the Word of God. That's the one that pierces hearts. That's the one that's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That's the one that's not going to return void. It's not the Word of man. It's the Bible. It's the Word of God. Now, here's... Okay, when I return, will I find faith in the earth? We all know what these verses are in faith. Now, go to Romans 10. Romans 10. And this is... I'm just thinking about this, and I just want you to think about it. I read this, and I thought about it, and I'm like, this is interesting. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by... Okay. By the Word of God. If the Lord tarries, if the Lord keeps putting off His coming, I'm not saying He's putting it off, but He has an appointed time. If He keeps tarrying and we're no longer here, and the Bible-believing churches and Bible-believing Christians are gone, and all there's left are churches that are teaching Bibles that are not the Word of God, or they're teaching we don't have the Word of God, or they're trying to say the Bible's in the originals, in the Greek and the Hebrew. Is faith even possible? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's a scary thing. Oh, there's churches all over the Twin Cities. Yeah, but what are they talking about? What do they believe in their hearts? If they don't have the Word of God, is faith even possible? Is that what Christ was saying? When I return, will I find faith on the earth? If He tarries His coming, what's going to be left? Lord, have we not done many wonderful things in Thy name? Have we not prophesied in Thy name? Yeah, it was in My name, but You didn't have My book. This is something to think about. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this time.